In America, you have a right to be stupid.
I mean, I do think at a certain point you've made enough money.
$100 billion, $1 trillion.
Come on!
If you got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Listen to reason.
We're lending money we don't have to kids who will never be able to pay it back, to train them for jobs that don't exist anymore.
My faith has really allowed me to overcome a lot of things and hard work. You know, nothing comes easy.
We're so focused on getting into the corner office, we forgot how to build a corner office.
There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
Finding real answers to form real solutions for a better America. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Here's your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush. Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Happy Thursday, everybody. And it is now the Trump train. It should be starting any moment. There we go. All the way through, or to November, I should say. Jump on board, folks. We need as much help as we can get, because even the likes of Fox News is not helping us out much anymore. We'll talk about that maybe as we go through the show today. Yesterday's impossible question, we got right, actually. We did, Charlie. The average person does this for over 6 months out of the year. The answer is diet. They go on a diet. Sounds like they need to maybe stay on one. But anyways, just a side note. Today's impossible question, answer this on the KLZ 560 Facebook page. In the last 5 months, there's been a 30% increase in this. What is it? In the last 5 months, there's been a 30% increase in this. And here's some hints. Trying a diet, working out outside, tattoo removal, fishing. What's the answer? KLZ 560 Facebook page. In the last 5 months, so through COVID, there's been a 30% increase in this. 30%. That's a pretty sizable number, almost a third. And I don't think it's diet or working out outside. I don't think it's tattoo removal either. Fishing, maybe. I'm going to say cooking. Maybe not even cooking, baking. I'm going to say baking. 30% increase in baking. I could be wrong. We'll find out tomorrow. So I have a joke for you. Actually, sprung this one on Dan a little earlier, but it's pretty funny. A man dining alone in a fancy restaurant was watching a gorgeous redhead sitting at the next table. He had been checking her out, but lacked the nerve to talk to her. Suddenly, she sneezed and her glass eye came flying out of its socket towards the man. He reached out, grabbed it right out of the air and handed it back. "I'm so sorry," she said as she popped her eye back in place. "Let me buy your dinner to make it up to you." They enjoyed a wonderful dinner together. Afterwards, they went to the theater, followed by drinks. They talked and laughed. She shared her deepest dreams, and he shared his. She listened with interest. After paying for everything, she asked him if he would like to come to her place for a nightcap and then stay for breakfast. They had a wonderful, wonderful time. The next morning, she cooked a gourmet meal with all the trimmings. He was amazed. Everything had been so incredible. "You know," she said, "you're the perfect woman. Are you this nice to every man you meet?" "No," she replied. "You're just the first man who happened to catch my eye." I know it's bad, Charlie. It's bad. Sorry. We have a special guest joining us here in a few minutes. But before that, got a great show in store for you, by the way. We've got a special guest joining us here in just a little bit. Philip Goodrich is going to talk about today is actually Constitution Day. So he is a historian, and we're going to talk about Constitution Day. Steve House from CD6 will join us. That's this first hour. Our second hour, Terrence Williams. If you don't know Terrence, in this hour, go look up on YouTube Terrence Williams. He's got a book out, From the Foster House to the White House, but go look up Terrence Williams and how funny he is. We had him on a few weeks ago, and when I was done, Walt's like, he emailed me. He's like, "Isn't that the guy that's really funny on Facebook?" I'm like, "I don't," or on you know, Facebook and YouTube. I'm like, "I don't know." And then I looked up, I'm like, "Yeah, okay, I know that guy. He's hilarious." So we've got Terrence coming back to join us today, and then Kurt Rogers will join us in the 5 o'clock hour. We're going to talk about how you can reduce, hopefully, some money that you've got going out the window on interest and save you some money there, and maybe even get some other things done around the house as well. All right, the Darwin Award winner of the week, I should say. I've got several. It's always easy to find one. But this week, it's the YouTuber that had to explain why he live streamed himself pooping in Nancy Pelosi's driveway. Yes, you heard that here. The YouTuber that explained why he live streamed himself pooping on Nancy's driveway. And because he live streamed it, of course, it didn't take long for the authorities to catch him. So he is a YouTube star, I guess you could say. It's kind of a part of a peaceful protest is what he called it. He identifies himself as Mando on his online challenges or online channels. And he requested to have his last name withheld for retribution's sake, of course. He's 28 years old, and he's a part of the YouTube niche community that creates IRL, or in-real-life, live streams. They chronicle long stretches of unfiltered daily life. He began his channel after he became homeless 6 years ago and hoped to show his viewers the realities of living on the street as he traveled from city to city. But recently, he's had some more difficulties because of COVID and so on. And as a result, because businesses are closed to customers and are no longer allowing people to use their bathrooms, as a result, Saturday's live stream video titled Poopalosi began as a protest against a lack of resources for people living on the streets, while people in power, such as Pelosi, are able to get haircuts, live their daily lives pretty much unchanged. And I'm going to add to that, can store their ice cream in $20,000 Sub-Zero refrigerators. That's at Nancy Pelosi's life. He had been hunting for a toilet all week, and the joke came up in the comments as one of my streams that, hey, you should take a crap at Pelosi's house. Everybody sort of enjoyed that idea, so that's what he did. They eventually caught up with him, of course. So that is the Darwin Award winner of the week because, say no more. Liberal lie of the week. And it's been going on now for several weeks, but the liberal lie continues to be that the Sturgis motorcycle rally has caused outbreaks of COVID across the country. To the tune of almost half of the outbreaks in the country they attribute to Sturgis. So the city of Sturgis released the following. The San Diego State University IZA study regarding the COVID-19 cases resulting from the Sturgis motorcycle rally is blatantly faulty. The study concludes that nearly 20% of the COVID-19 cases reported in America from August 2nd to September 2nd are due to the event. This outrageous conclusion is antithetical to the actual case data, as numerous state officials across the United States have been actively seeking to tie any COVID-19 case to the event. Despite these active efforts, fewer than 300 cases have been identified nationwide. The careless ease with which the mainstream media outlets have published a report that multiplies the factual data by 1,000 is shameful. The absolute preposterousness of this conclusion is further demonstrated by the result of community-wide mass testing, which occurred after the event, where there were 26 positive cases out of 650 patients tested. The city of Sturgis holds these affected by COVID-19 in our thoughts and prayers as the virus continues to impact our nation and world. We recognize that individuals were exposed to the virus on their trip to, from, or while at the rally, but the data reported by health officials across the nation shows that the impact from the event was a mere fraction of what was projected and anticipated by many of the experts. The continued media focus on infection and the hope of increased transmission rates and death following this event are reminiscent of the models that told us that locally our hospitals would be overwhelmed. We would have a massive lack of ventilators and 3 to 5% of us would not survive. Fortunately, we have seen the underlying assumptions of these models were unfounded and categorically inaccurate, just as the conclusion of this report is. So there is a response from the city of Sturgis along these lines. I have something else I want to read to you, but I'll have to wait here a little bit. We've got Philip joining us in a moment. I want to be ready for him so we can give him full time. Mighty Hand Construction is next, though. And if you need anything done around the house, roof, siding, windows, remodeling, Mighty Hand is your place. Give them a call today at 970-844-9191 or find them at klzradio.com.
It's time to stop painting over the damage and replace your siding. you'll be costing yourself more money in the long run by painting over wood rot and split boards every few years instead of committing to a full exterior redo with Mighty Hand. Micah and his team offer Diamond Coat Siding, which comes with a 30-year, no paint, no fade warranty, so you'll have great-looking, durable siding for decades. You've been putting it off because you know it's a big expense, but you're not planning to move anytime soon, and you do want to feel like you're living in a nice place. Use some of that refi money to hire a local business you know will do a good job. As a full-service construction company, Mighty Hand Construction can handle any exterior work in Northern Colorado, including roofing, siding, windows, driveways, decks, and more. Ask Micah and his team for an estimate on a full exterior redo at klzradio.com/mightyhand. Honoring God, impacting customers.
Affordable Interest Mortgage, Kurt Rogers is going to join us at 5 o'clock. In the meantime, if you need some things done by Mighty Hand and you want to figure out how to pay for it, Kurt can probably help you with that. Just call him today at 720-895-0500. That's Affordable Interest Mortgage.
Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Now is the time to zero in on your target audience. So many businesses spread themselves too thin by trying to reach an enormous pool of customers. John Rush can help you define your niche, trimming the fat so you can maximize your profits. Not just surviving the shutdowns, but actually beating out your competition with smarter business strategies. You've done a good job staying afloat. Now it's time to hone in on your most profitable customers. Reach John now at RushToReason.com.
No liberal media bias here. This is Rush to Reason.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. And in honor of Constitution Day, Philip Goodrich joining us now. Philip, welcome to Rush to Reason. How are you, sir?
Very nice. Thank you. Thanks for inviting.
Well, I appreciate you joining us very much. And you wrote a book that might change the way that we view the American Revolution called Somerset. And if you would, you know, let's start there. Talk about that that book, your new work, and some of the research you did in it.
Well, I came upon this story in one of these little-known books about stories you never knew about the Revolution, things like that, and came across this case called Somerset versus Stuart as a possible motivator for the Revolution. When I looked into it, I was surprised to learn, first of all, that it was a case decided in the courts of London, and that the only American of significance that was present at that time was Benjamin Franklin. I wondered whether there was a tie there. So in further researching it, it turns out that there was a definite tie there, that Franklin was already in London trying to liberate Pennsylvania from the control of its proprietors and was already working with a council of friends behind the scenes to see how he could make this happen. So Franklin appears to have stirred up the South by the threat of loss of their slave labor, mm-hmm. and stirred up the North by ongoing threats of quartering of British soldiers, and pretty much cobbled all this together for the primary goal on his part of liberating Pennsylvania.
Okay, and real quick question that I think I've got that most people probably don't even realize. How old was he then?
At the time that he was undertaking this in London, he was 66.
Okay.
Yeah, he was not a young man.
So we all kind of, you know, we think, I guess where I'm going with this is we all think that they were, you know, 60s and 70s when they were doing everything when it came to the revolution. But the reality is some of those guys started at a much earlier age, including him, right?
Well, yeah, George Washington was 43 when he was leading the Continental Army. These were, you know, men in their 30s and 40s, except for Franklin. Franklin was 15 years older than anybody else involved in the process, and Franklin had actually been at this since 1748.
Wow. The vision, you know, just to me, Philip, the vision that, you know, these, you know, our founding fathers, these men had, because let's face it, they were men just like you and I, but they had, in my opinion, some miraculous vision when it came to the forming of the country and how that should even look.
They really did, and they had a lot of help in this regard. Franklin, in particular, had two separate consultations that went on for several months with members of the Scottish Enlightenment of the 18th century, and these were the foremost political philosophers of the entire century. They had pretty much outlined for Franklin what it took to build a nation and pretty much gave him the blueprint.
But to their credit, they didn't screw that up. I mean, they listened. They listened intently. They all got together. They talked amongst themselves. And I realized there was lots of even battles and arguments over how things should be done and so on, slavery being one of those, you know, as we all know. But the reality is, Philip, they didn't screw up the blueprint.
They didn't, and they kept their eye on the ball through the entire process, really from 1770 all the way through to the Constitution that we're celebrating today.
To me, you know, that in and of itself, because you look at where the politicians, you know, that we have today are, and I'm lumping them all together. I realize there's some outliers, but, you know, in general, when we look at what's going on today, I'm not sure if we had to reform the country again today like our founding fathers did, we'd be able to do it all over again. I don't think we could.
I don't think we have the leadership that they showed at that time, and I don't think we have the ability to compromise that any of them showed at that time. Franklin's watchword, based on his discussion with the Scots, was, "You are there to consult and not to confront. You are there to advise and not to dictate." And Franklin obeyed that recommendation very carefully.
What do you think, Philip, what do you think some of their biggest fears were? Not just Franklin, but the founding fathers in general. What do you think their largest fear? I mean, outside of getting killed for, you know, committing treason against England, outside of that, what do you think their biggest fears were?
Well, I think their probably overriding concern was, were they going to be able to stay together as a single entity after the war? And there was a lot of concern that that simply could not happen. And from there, would they actually be able to be recognized by other countries in terms of trade and in terms of supporting their economy? I think they lived in almost daily fear of bankruptcy when it came to international trade.
And by the way, to your point, some of them did become bankrupt when it was all said and done, correct?
Yes. There were several leaders that would never be reimbursed for their losses.
They literally gave it all, correct?
Yes, they had everything laid on the line, and they lived out their lives penniless.
When we talk along some of those lines, and again, today being Constitution Day, you know, to me, when I hear those things, and you hear about the men. And of course, we don't give credit where credit's due either. They all had, you know, typically wives and families and so on that also sacrificed. A lot of times we give credit just to the men, but the reality is, you know, their entire families literally sacrificed in a great way so we'd have the country that we have today. And to me, Philip, again, I look at that and I just think, how many Americans do we have today willing to do, American leaders even today, not just Americans, but American leaders willing to give up everything and do what those guys did?
Yes, I think we've actually inverted that. I think the people that put it on the line more commonly now are our young people that are serving in the military.
Yes.
And they understand that they're putting it on the line, while our politicians are pretty much working in a leadership vacuum.
You know what? What you just said, I couldn't say it any better. You are 100% correct. That's exactly what's happening. And yes, my hat and you know, heart goes out to those that are out there doing it. You know, I had a son that served in the military in Afghanistan, and, you know, Marine in Afghanistan, so I know full well. And again, I think that's where, for myself personally, Philip, I understand as families, even though you're not over there serving, boy, you know, your heart and your thoughts and your prayers and everything that you're doing, your entire being, even though you're not there, but your family or your, in this case, my son was, you're there as well. Even though you're not physically there, you are mentally.
Correct. Yeah, my son also did two tours in the Middle East. And you think about that every day, and you realize what they put on the line just for our country.
Yeah, and then I look at that, and I compare that to today where we're at with, you know, they're not protests, they're riots. Let's call it what they are. I mean, these riots that are going on, even as we speak, they're still happening in parts of the country, and just the disarray that we're in that way. And I think to myself, you know, that's to me, that's not putting it on the line. You know, if you really want change, you've got to do it the way our founding fathers did, and that can still be done today. The reality is, you don't change anything by rioting, Philip.
No, destruction for destruction's sake accomplishes nothing.
Let's stop for a second. Let's go back in time to, you know, the days of our founding fathers, and in this case, Franklin, and you know Benjamin Franklin. And you look and you think, if they had gone about what our people today, I shouldn't say our people, but some of the people today are doing with rioting, if that had been our founding fathers, how far would they have gotten with England?
Well, they were actually pushing the envelope pretty hard with
the
Boston Tea Party.
But they were not destroying property. I mean, they were revolting against England itself, not just out to destroy property to destroy property.
Right. They were actually confronting the British government with every chance that they got.
Right. Completely different scenario than we've got when somebody just goes out and burns a business down for sake of burning a business down because it says McDonald's on it.
Correct.
Not one and the same.
No, they were taking it to the government and letting the government know what they were upset about.
And which, you know, how should I say this? I'm thankful they did. How else can I say that? I'm thankful our founding fathers did what they did. Do you feel that, you know, because I don't want to put these guys on a pedestal. It bothers me when we do that with anyone. They were men, again, just like you and I were, but they were men that had foresight. They had wisdom. In this case, you know, Franklin being one of the, Benjamin Franklin being one of the oldest, like you just mentioned a little bit ago, of our founding fathers, and having the wisdom and the foresight to do some of the things they did. But again, at the end of the day, they were still just men like we are.
They were, and they had their own failings as well. Some of their legacies have survived relatively intact. Some of them are being challenged now.
But, you know, they were. I think what you just said a moment ago is exactly right. They were men. They had challenges. They had sins. You know, they had problems just like, you know, anyone else in the world would have. They were not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. Yet with all of that, I think what I want to say with this, Philip, is with all of that still behind them and all of their faults, they still looked out and did what was best for the entire country, and they wanted to form a country at that time that would be a perfect union, right?
Yes, they had two great visionaries that were absolutely essential to getting this accomplished, and those two men were Benjamin Franklin and George Washington. It's interesting that all through this, there was no question who was in charge of the government, and it was George Washington. During the entire Constitutional Convention, there was no question in anybody's mind that the first president was going to be George Washington. The entire description of the Constitution, what they're describing for us is, this is George Washington.
Yeah, and on top of that, I think another reminder that I even have to remind myself of is, you know, George could have easily been king of the United States of America, and they could have had a completely different, you know, constitution, if you would, that would have made him such, because at that time, I think the people would have even accepted that. But yet, that's not what he wanted, nor the insight or the foresight that he had. That's not what the country needed, and he knew that.
Yes. The greatest quote was from actually George III when he said, "If that man steps down from the presidency after 8 years, he will go down in history as the greatest man in the history of the 18th century." Well, guess what? He did, and he did.
Yeah. And I think, you know, where I look at it today is he still, even though there's those out there that would like to wipe his name, you know, off the face of the earth. In fact, we've even got the mayor of the city basically saying she doesn't want to honor him in any way, shape, or form, and would even like to take some of the monuments down. But the reality is, those guys deserve those monuments. They did us a great service as a nation, established the nation. They were the founding fathers and had the insight to get us where we are today.
Correct.
And they, to me, Philip, they you know, let's give credit where credit's due. We're not saying, I would never say they were perfect, because they were not. As you said a moment ago, they all had their failings, which you have and I have as well. But at the end of the day, they still established a great nation.
They did indeed. And as you've already pointed out, I'm not sure without both Franklin and Washington that this would have ever happened.
Yeah, I don't know that it would have. The sacrifice. And I know there's lots of folks out there that would say, well, you know, John, the other was also, you know, higher powers and, you know, God Almighty that, you know, was interjected into a lot of that and so on. But again, you still have to look at the men, Philip, and say, yeah, that, you know, I'm not saying I disagree with any of that. But the reality is the men still had to have the vision, the obedience, the humbleness to look at things differently than what some of their counterparts would have done and still set out to make this a great nation.
Exactly.
And I don't know any other way to say it. All right, so the book itself, where do folks find the book?
Go to Phil, P-H-I-L, GoodrichAuthor.com. That's my website. Or you can go straight to Amazon and look for Somerset, S-O-M-E-R-S-E-T-T. There's two T's on the end.
Gotcha.
That distinguishes it from the other Somerset novels out there. But you can get it either way. You can find it online. It is available either on Kindle or in paperback form. And at the end of this year, first announcement is on your show. It's going to be available in Audible.
Awesome. Philip, that is fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us today. I do appreciate it. Constitution Day, something we need to remember. It again, not to put anybody on a pedestal, Philip, but this is a great day. If it wasn't for our country, the entire world would not be the way it is today. I am a firm believer of that.
That is absolutely correct, and thank you so much for allowing me to share your audience.
You're very welcome, Philip. Thanks so much. Have a great evening. Philip Goodrich, again, the book is called Somerset, and that's with two T's. Let's do this. Michael Bailey Law, Mobile Estate Planner, is coming up next. And Michael would love to help you out with all of your estate planning needs, whether it's a living will, whether you've got a large estate, a small estate, or just a house and some kids. Doesn't matter what it is. You need to make sure things are taken care of before you leave this earth. Do that today, 720-394-6887, or go to klzradio.com.
When Michael Bailey creates your estate plan, you only talk to Michael Bailey the whole time. You don't need to press zero for the operator when you call Michael Bailey Law Office, because Michael Bailey himself answers the phone every time. Michael Bailey personally ensures the accuracy of your legal documents, and Michael Bailey remains available to answer all your legal questions. Choose KLZ's Mobile Estate Planner and only talk to the attorney. KLZradio.com/estate.
Save the Children is next, folks, and we want to save kids' lives, not just around the world, but in our own backyard. And you know what? These are kids. They don't have the ability to take care of themselves. They need someone. They're children. They need someone to care for them. That's our job. Now, in a lot of cases, mom and dad can't do that job, so that's where Save the Children comes along and helps out. It's easy for us to help them help these kids. Just go to SaveChildrenKLZ.org or dial 1-800-570-5155.
Grand Lake, Colorado is truly a place where God shows off his creation. Kim Munson here. Friday, Tom Goodfellow, one of the organizers of the premier Constitution Week celebration in all of America, Grand Lakes U.S. Constitution Week, joins me. Tom will explain why now, more than ever, it is important to understand, educate, promote, and celebrate the history and vision of our important founding document, and how this little town nestled in the Colorado Rockies is making a difference. Learn more Friday, 6 to 7 a.m., again, 10 to 11 p.m., right here on KLZ 560.
With every crisis, there is opportunity. Buying or selling your business? Kim Munson recommends Chris Cantwell with Transworld Business Advisors. Find Chris Cantwell at kimmunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Sort of a hazy Thursday we have outside from the smoke coming in from the California fires, but it's still a beautiful day outside here in Colorado. Steve House joining us now. He is candidate for CD6. Steve, welcome. How are you, sir?
Good. I was just talking about the California fires just an hour ago.
Well, they are, you can look outside. I can't see the mountains from the studio, so what's that tell you?
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously they're bad. I mean, obviously we were talking about causation, you know.
Right.
I mean, we were looking at for 100 years, we had fires that would burn, clean up the floor, get rid of the biomass. Then we went to a strategy where we started to put out fires very quickly all the time. and we built up all this biomass, and it's crazy. I mean, people who think it's because of 2 degrees of Fahrenheit increase in temperature on average in California, yeah, they're missing the larger point. And I think the thing that I wonder about is, I mean, we're the innovation guys, right?
Right.
Do you create a national sort of fire department that is, you know, 35 or 40, 747, 835 super tankers that can carry a lot more water than one of the Chinooks do? And you say, all right, when you have a big fire someplace that's out of control, you send in this national group of tankers and you just extinguish it.
Great question. And, you know, the other issue that we've got going on, Steve, is number one, we're not, to your point a moment ago, we're not managing, you know, the underbrush. And by the way, this isn't just California, folks. We've got the same issue going on here in Colorado. It's in all sorts of states. I don't know each individual state because every state does that a little bit differently. But we've seen this in many places, Steve. And on top of that, in defense of some of those that would like to try to do some even controlled burns and things along those lines, the reality is we've now got population living in areas that, let's face it, 50 years ago, even 30 years ago, didn't exist.
It's absolutely true. And then when you think about it, probably an even easier example is you talk about hurricane damage. Well, look at pictures of Miami, Florida 50 years ago versus
right.
today.
Right.
You know, when you build on top of the coast, when you build into the forest, you know, it's either you have to build, and again, our innovative minds say, you know, build with hardened materials where a house can withstand a fire. I think that's somewhere down the road that happens. I think cleaning up the forest is another option. I think the fire brigade, if you will, the National Fire Brigade or whatever you call it, is an option. But we just have to be smarter about how we manage things.
No, I agree. And again, and I'm not saying we shouldn't allow certain houses to be built in certain areas, but I also know that, you know, it comes back to this personal responsibility thing as well at times, Steve. I mean, you have to wonder, there's times where, you know, you look at some of these houses that are up in the mountains and you look at what has been done to mitigate even fire damage to that house if there was an actual fire, and then you look at ones that have done nothing to mitigate fire, and it's sort of like, okay, so should we, and I realize insurance companies get involved and so on, but when it comes to natural disasters and things like that, should we as citizens be responsible for the guy that didn't take care of his property in the first place?
Yeah, I mean, that's like, you know, they started, one of those fires started because of a gender reveal, right? So where do you place blame, you know, a continuation of a fire, you know, anything like that? I mean, the bottom line, though, the first and foremost issue is wind-dominated fires stopped 20 years ago.
Right.
Now they're fuel-dominated fires, and the fire departments know that. I mean, there has to be some sensible, responsible way to deal with it. And, you know, and at the other hand, you know, controlled burn fires, I mean, Elon Musk, and I was talking to somebody who was dealing with Elon, and they were talking about the fact that if you took a drone and you put a flamethrower on it, not the kind of version you think someone would hold in their hand, but you could go set controlled burn fires in areas without actually having manpower to go in and do it. And then you set the perimeters of it and you let it clean it up. Well, guess what happens? Once you have a fire, then things start to grow again.
Right.
And when they start to grow, you get a greener planet, you get a greener planet, you consume more CO2. I mean, there's all these things that are benefits by doing it as opposed to environmental policy that does not consider that type of situation.
I used this example a couple of days ago even, and I know here in Colorado, when, you know, native, I grew up here, and I can remember as a kid, you know, my dad had a wood-burning stove. We'd go up, we'd cut wood every year in the fall, you know, throughout the summer, and yeah, back in those days, you'd go up around the Silverthorn area, Apex Mine area. There was tons and tons of beetle kill in that particular area, which, by the way, is back again now. There's tons of beetle kill up in those areas, and yet I don't see the same thing happening when it comes to harvesting of that wood, of those trees. I mean, I don't see the same thing happening today that happened when I was a kid at age, you know, 13, 14, 15, whatever, however old I was when I started helping my dad do those things. And, you know, back then the Forest Service would come through, they'd mark the trees you could cut. You know, it was really easy to tell what to cut, what not to cut. You know, you took your own pickup, trailer, chainsaw, whatever. And I just wonder, you know, why are we not doing those same things again today, Steve? Is it because of lawsuits, liability? Is it just lack of wanting to manage that in the first place? I mean, why are we not doing some of that?
I think that, you know, we have this mentality, John, where we're trying to protect the status quo, whether it's, you know, even if you look at, you know, things that are put on the endangered species list, if you ask the question, and I've done this, at what point, how many of those, if you will, are alive before you say it's no longer an endangered species? And the answer is, that's never been done before.
Right.
You know, they don't take things off the list. So
right.
Trees fall, they rot, you know, they get lightweight, they become very fire, you know, intense.
Right.
And you do nothing about it. But then what happens, and I think part of what's going to happen, and why I think this next decade and a half can be such a great decade and a half of innovation is, let me give you a simple example of something you just brought up. So you got beetle kill. One of the things we know about beetle kill is if you take a tree that was involved in beetle kill, it's dead. You take it down and you do something called biochar. So you heat it up to 1200 degrees, no oxygen. You don't let it burn, but it turns into black, crumbly wood. Guess what biochar is really good at? It's got holes in it and it absorbs bacteria.
Yep.
You re-put it in the ground, and wherever you put it, and you don't need a lot of it, the plants and things will grow, from corn to tomatoes to trees to whatever.
It's a fertilizer, basically.
Will grow with 40 to 50% less water.
Right.
Because the holes in the biochar absorb water and then distribute it much more effectively. Well, if you said to environmentalists, and I've had this conversation, and said, would you trade dead beetle kill for a 40% water reduction, consumption reduction, in the environment? And the answer is, yeah, but if you take the beetle kill out, you know, what else are you going to hurt? And I'm like, this just doesn't make sense. If you can never innovate, never your future.
And the answer would be, I guess I would have to ask them, what do you think would be hurt?
Yeah.
That, I mean, honestly, my next question back to them, you know, when they say, well, yeah, but what are you going to hurt? I would ask them that question. You tell me. Other than maybe a forest road here and there that, by the way, if you don't use it indefinitely and you get that closed right back over and even do some reseeding on top of what you just use as the forest road, the reality is nothing. Zilch.
I know. It's. I remember this year in January when I was in Kenya, I was actually walking through an organic garden with a guy in the Serengeti. They had like a little oasis that was fenced off from the, you know, the big animals.
Right.
And I was walking through this garden, and I said, who's your biggest enemy out here? He said, butterfly larva. And I'm like,
what
do you mean? And he goes, well, during the time that they're larva, the larva, as they're becoming butterflies, are actually eating part of the plant.
Yeah.
And so once they become a butterfly, then they pollinate. They're good. But, you know, we can't let them be in that larva stage. And I'm like, you told that to an environmentalist and said, okay, this is a guy growing an organic garden. He's doing it with gray water to the extent that he can, but he's got to kill butterfly larvae at some level. He can't grow the plants to feed people in an organic fashion. Well, that's a nice trade-off, I think, but unfortunately, I don't think what we do in this country is we don't environmentally make reasonable trade-offs.
Well, we don't look typically big picture, and we've seen this over and over again, Steve, when it comes to even the, you know, alternative, quote-unquote, green energies, where, you know, there's even been folks in the environmental movement that have left and created movies and books and other things where they basically say, listen, this whole thing is backwards. You know, there's not enough land mass that's in the right area to even handle the amount of solar panels we'd need to feed the nation with power. There's not enough area to put wind farms in, and on down the line we go. I mean, the reality is this just can't happen. It's a pipe dream if anybody thinks this is going to happen and be a solution for us long term. We have to come up with other alternatives if that's what we're looking for, because the reality is wind and solar is not it.
Yeah, and you know what it is in some respects, John. I mean, you know this instinctively. Philosophically, if you want to move to socialism and you want to move to, you know, collectivism and Marxism, the first thing you have to do is you have to break people's lifestyle down.
Yeah.
They have to have less, because the way you make people believe in socialism is when you've got so little that if the government gives it to you, you appreciate it.
Right.
You have this first phase, however, where many people, not everybody, there's plenty of poor people in this country, but where you got a lot of people in this country who have what they want.
Yeah.
So you have to take it away from them, because if you don't take it away from them, then the government doesn't become their provider. And so there's all of that in this context as well. You know, how do I break you down? Well, solar and wind is expensive, so I'm going to make your utility bills go up. You see the Aurora City Council, which apparently had a side meeting a month ago. And I got this from, you know, from people that are economically there or physically were present, said, you know, they're proposing this idea that if you have an extra bedroom, you pay a fee. What do you mean you pay a fee? Well, what? You pay a tax rate, they call it a fee. You have two bedrooms, you pay double the fee. The only way that you can get rid of the fee is you got to let somebody who's homeless move in.
Oh, and, my word.
You know, those types, I'm not kidding either, by the way. Those types of strategies, you know, when you really look at it, you go, they have to make you feel bad about what you have, break you down for it, take it away from you, and then slowly give it back to you, but a lot less of it.
Well said. All right, we'll come back. Don't go anywhere. Steve House again, CD6. It's House4Colorado.com. I encourage you to go to the website. We'll come right back. Enchanted Kitchens is next, though. If you want to have an enchanted kitchen, in other words, a kitchen that's the centerpiece of your home where you can go there, hang out, do the things you need to do. In fact, in some cases, work from home. A lot of that gets done in the kitchen. Go to klzradio.com or call 303-376-7588.
The number one goal of the Enchanted Kitchens design team is to create a space that fits your daily life. Yes, you want a kitchen that looks nicer and more modern. But for you, the primary value of a redesign is the difference it will make in your everyday life. You need a functional, open space so you can have a pleasant day-to-day experience in your kitchen. Above all, you want a kitchen that works. At Enchanted Kitchens, you will partner with a professional team of designers who know how to ask the right questions to help you plan out the kitchen you and your family really need. As a Rush to Reason listener, after you visited their experience center, the Enchanted Kitchens team will schedule a follow-up meeting in your home for free to assess your space and learn specifics, like how often do you entertain and for how many. In order to get the functional kitchen of your dreams, you need the Enchanted Kitchens design team on your side. Visit klzradio.com/kitchens, where magic meets design.
Franktown Firearms, whether you're a novice or you've been shooting for a long time, you want to practice, you want to hang out, you want to be able to buy ammo, you want to be able to buy another gun, you name it, Franktown Firearms has you covered. klzradio.com or 720-770-7777.
Instead of transporting your firearms to and from the range, you can store them safely on-site at the Franktown Firearms Armory. After purchasing a firearm, the team at Franktown recommends that you shoot consistently with your own gun on the range, as well as signing up for one of their proprietary training courses or one-on-one instruction so you can develop confidence handling your gun. You can also store your firearms temporarily while you're on vacation or protect your heirloom weapons without taking up space in your gun safe at home. The team at Franktown prides themselves on developing long-term relationships with their clients. They see beginners turn into experts all the time. First-time buyers come in looking for guidance and come back because they're having fun. Learn to shoot with confidence in a family atmosphere. Store your firearms at Franktown. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/Franktown for pricing. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
This is Josh with Business Equipment Service. Here's a message from one of our satisfied customers. Sharon says, "Love this company. They have gone above and beyond to respond to our copier and service needs for the past 10 years. If you are looking into purchasing office equipment or need service on equipment you currently have, give us a call at 303-825-5664.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Steve House with me. He's running for CD6. You can find him at House, H-O-U-S-E, House 4, Colorado. It's F-O-R, by the way, houseofcolorado.com. Steve, you got a volunteer event coming up here soon, too. You want to talk about that for a moment?
Yeah, we had one yesterday. We've got a number of them coming up. You know, the thing about politics today that is so important, and, you know, some of it is, I mean, I know if you've probably been watching Facebook, and, you know, Facebook has now decided that a political ad must be approved by them before they'll run it. And frankly, if you're trying to run something in the last couple of weeks, you may not get it approved. I mean, I don't understand the business model where you're saying, look, I am a social media site, but now I'm going to decide whether you can run a political ad or
right.
not. You know, that tells me that they don't need the business. They must be so wealthy they don't need the business. It's just insane. But the way you get things done today is not radio and TV. You've got to do radio and TV. Radio is better than TV, by the way, John, and I think you probably knew that.
Thank you.
To get the word out. But what you've got to do is get volunteers to tell their network, to tell the 10 friends they know,
yeah.
hey, I know this guy, yep. you ought to vote for him, et cetera. So
yep.
we continue to bring them together. We're still knocking doors, still walking, you know, trying to get, you know, 7,500,000 steps for me in the weekend. But in the meantime, it's all about getting the message out that there's a better way and we can't continue to get down the path that most wants.
No, we need good representation in Washington. So, folks, again, even if you're not in CD6, we want to get Steve elected. I believe it's a race that we can definitely win. His counterpart was the Harry Potter front and center during the impeachment trial. And Steve, we've got to have a change there. There's just no other way of saying it. There's got to be a change there.
Yeah, you know, we have problems that we're wrestling with in certain aspects of our community that have been around for 50 years. And, you know, people keep doing the same thing. They keep voting Democrat or Republican. I think the reason why we're seeing so many more unaffiliated voters now is that they're looking at it going, this is insane. I'm not going to vote a straight ticket. You know, I got to find the right people to do something because right now we're still dealing with the same problems.
Do you feel like, you know, as we head into the election too, which I personally do you feel like there's some fatigue with, you know, the riots and COVID and even mask wearing? I mean, to me, I was on vacation last week and you just sat and kind of listened as a fly on the wall on a lot of different levels and different people from all different backgrounds. And just my own observation, Steve, is I don't care what political party you even side with or don't side with. People are tired of all three things I just mentioned.
Yeah, no question. They're prominent issues in their minds, right? I mean, the number one issue right now is how do we end COVID and gracefully move forward, which starts with how do I get my kids back in school?
Well, I think to your point, leadership-wise, we've at some point have to acknowledge, and I know you have, I have, you have to acknowledge the point that it's here to stay. It's not going anywhere. How are we just going to manage and lead through this moving forward? Because, folks, I'm going to tell you right now, everybody listening, a vaccine is not a cure. It is not going to end this particular virus. It's like H1N1. It's here to stay now.
Yeah, you know, you kind of could go back and think of some of the, you know, things we dealt with in our history from, you know, TB to, you know, other type of diseases that came around and, you know, they popped up and you dealt with them and you had, you know, major crush from polio initially and, you know, things like that. I think that this will actually, they'll get this under control at least. But, you know, if you're talking about 20,000-30,000 infections a day, you know, the flu during a typical season is going to have almost 100,000 infections a day across the country.
Right.
So it's not like this isn't already below where the flu is from an infection point of view. Counting infections is really improper. The question is, how do we do it? We're not aging well, John. That's the thing that we absolutely understand from COVID is, you know, people with multiple morbidities over the age of 60 are dying at fairly high rates when they get this. We've got to age better.
Well, and, you know, I hosted a program today, had to step in for Dan, you know, kind of last minute with Functional Medicine is the name of the show that's on from 2 to 2:30 on Thursdays here on KLZ, Steve. And I will tell you that, you know, it's a lot of what gets talked about in that type of a program is how do we as a society live better, live healthier, and not just pop a pill for every ailment that comes along. Because let's face it, we talked about this on the program, we don't have health care, we have sick care. You've said that too.
Right. And we've got a plan to change all that. And I think somebody asked me last night, I ran into a bunch of politicians at a water quality event. By the way, it was really funny to ask the chemist when I said, you got any questions? I said, how did the pH change from the smoke and the ash that dropped in the water? And they looked at me like, oh my God, we never checked that. I was like, wow.
Yes, yeah, because it's more acidic. It's going to change because it's more acidic.
Yeah, you're going to kill all those microorganisms that you were trying to save by not taking beetle kill out of the forest.
That's right.
Right. But anyway, you know, just talking to people about, you know, how we do better, how we, you know, get a better handle on how we're healthy. And you start to explain to them that an incentive-based healthcare plan where you own your savings account and it becomes your retirement account the older you get and you pass it on to your heirs, if you have that kind of incentive and you really don't have a retirement set up for yourself, I think you're going to make decisions differently when you know what everything has to have a price tag, but you're going to make different decisions to save money so that you can live a better life.
Couldn't say it better. Yep. And those that are out there running around talking about how, you know, the Republicans and the conservatives don't have a plan when it comes to health care, number one, I don't think they're looking at what you just said or I said a moment ago. Again, they're looking at sick care. They're not looking at how do we in general get healthier.
That's right. And there's some really key things, and we've got major innovation coming. Newt Gingrich and I've talked about some of the, you know, solutions for diabetes, sickle cell anemia. There's all kinds of things coming that are going to make us healthier. But that doesn't change your need for good immunity through, you know, decent diet, reasonable exercise, weight management. And if I give you incentive that turns into your ability to take a vacation when you're in your 60s because you maintained yourself fairly well, I think people will eventually make that adjustment.
Oh, I agree. All right, so how do folks help you out more? I know you've got events coming up. I've mentioned the website. What else can folks do to help you?
I think they go to the website and they volunteer. Volunteer doesn't mean you're walking the streets for us. There's all kinds of different ways to volunteer. So contact us through there. If you send an email, I'm going to get it. I'm going to respond to you. Obviously, you can donate. We still need to run, you know, TV commercials coming up and a few other things we got to do that cost money. So do all that. Come out and see us at an event. There's a lot of things going on. And absolutely send 10 people, 12 people, 20 people, 100 people an email that says, I have heard this guy. I know this guy. John Rush likes this guy.
Awesome.
And you should vote for him.
Yep. Well said. Yep. I endorse you fully. So, Steve, thank you very much. I appreciate you joining us each week.
All right, my friend.
Thanks, man. Take care. And I do, folks. That is Steve House. Yes, I endorse him. You won't find me too often endorsing particular candidates. Outside of Donald Trump, of course, I endorse him. But Steve House, great guy, great friend. I've known him for a long time. He would be a great representative for us in Congress, so we've got to get him elected. Purify Chevrolet is up next, folks, and they would love to help you out. There's some great deals right now. 10% off Colorado trucks, 15% off Equinox, $5,000 cash back on Silverado. Plus, they've got a lot of great used cars on the lot as well because of the great deals they've got on new cars. So if you need anything, new or used, they've got you taken care of. It's purifychevrolet.com, 303-659-8311.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purifoy, and after all these years and hundreds of radio spots on many stations, I still find it hard to convey how I feel about our dealership in Fort Lupton without it being just another 60 seconds of car dealer shtick and hype. Let's face it, there are only so many glowing things I could say about Purifoy Chevrolet, but at the end of the day, does the ad sell cars and trucks? I want and need your business, especially if you're in the market for a new Chevrolet or a decent used vehicle. And really, all I have to offer is a good buying experience that I know is sincerely appreciated and valued by our customers. 60 years in business has taught us many things that makes the difference in doing business. We're not perfect by any means, but we're honest about what we do and have the ethics and integrity to back it up. We have all the same factory rebates and incentives that all the other dealers have to offer, plain and simple. So do yourself a favor. If you're in the market for a vehicle or need reliable service, please give us a try. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton or on the web at purefoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Up next here, top of the hour, is Terrence K. Williams from the Foster House to the White House. We interviewed him before. And I talked about him a little bit yesterday, and I will get him to reiterate the same thing I was talking about yesterday. And I was thinking about this on the way home last night. I said, you know, Terrence Williams, black man, and the only reason why I say black man that has learned how to work hard and make it, who came from the Foster House and has done extremely well. And the reason why I said black man is because we live in a day and age now to where they will tell you, the left will tell you, that no one can make it in today's world without the government's help, especially a black man. Well, Terrence is going to come up here in a few minutes, and we'll get him on air, and he's going to tell you that, no, that's not the case. Anyone with enough gumption, enough work ethic, can still make it in the United States of America. We're going to talk about that next. So if you're listening to our replay hour, actually, you're not, because the National Crawford Roundtable is tonight. So those of you that missed that last night because we changed things up a little bit this week, the National Crawford Roundtable will be tonight at 6 o'clock. Otherwise, hour number two is next. Don't go anywhere. We will be back, myself and Charlie. This is Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.